Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. This is Grandmaster Jesse Bowen. Welcome to our radio show. We're going to be interviewing tonight Grandmaster Jerry Pitterton, and we'll also have on Master Michael Dietrichs tonight on our call. We're sort of waiting for them to get online tonight. So what I wanted to do when we had this opportunity is talk about the upcoming event. You know, there are martial artists all across the country that have done amazing things. They've been the pioneers of the martial arts. They've opened the doors for us martial artists of today. So what we're going to be doing in the next couple of weeks, actually on September the 16th, 17th, and 18th in Charlotte, North Carolina, the American Martial Arts Alliance will be hosting the AMAA Who's Who in the Martial Arts Awards Banquet and celebrating an amazing weekend with some of the most amazing martial artists ever been in the country. And these martial artists will be Grandmaster Jeff Smith, Joe Corley, John Chung, Steve Muhammad, Bill McDonald, Bill Hayes, Danny McCall, and that list just goes on and on. We'll have as a special guest, we will have Cynthia Rothrock as our guest speaker, and we'll have Linda Denley, and, you know, we have so many martial artists that have reached out and now supporting the efforts that we're doing in making a history book about yesterday. Because we have to understand yesterday in order to move forward into where we are today. And this is a critical part about the martial arts. We see the martial arts as now as a tool for behavior and largely for our kids. But the martial arts is a powerful tool for anyone. We want people to be able to read the Who's Who book and discover why these great martial artists, why they actually got involved in the martial arts, and talk about the challenges that they had and how the martial arts improved their lives. And many of these martial artists who started back 40 and 50 years ago, they're 10th degree masters and grandmasters, and they have all of these lists of achievements. But the most important part that we wanted to focus on was the why. And this is the key element that I feel is the most important part when I'm introducing myself to a brand new student and they come into my martial arts school. The first question I ask them is, why do you want to study? What is the motivation? What is it that you want out of the martial arts? And for many of these martial artists, they started because, you know, they were in conflict, being bullied, and a lot of things going on, and they took that moment of their weakness and build it into their strong point that's been able to carry all the way through their lives and to empower who they are. And so what we're going to do, I think here. Hello, who do I have on the call with me?
Hey, it's Michael Dietrich.
Hey, sir, how are you doing?
Doing wonderful.
Well, it's great to have you on the call. We're waiting for Grandmaster Jerry Pitterton to join our call tonight, and hopefully he'll be able to make it. I know he has several things going on, but we really wanted to push forward. And since we have you on the call, we were going to interview you a second, so I thought we'd just hang out and chit-chat and talk. I know we sort of just discovered each other in the past past couple of weeks, and, you are totally amazing with your marketing skills, your ideas, your concepts, the things that you're doing in the martial arts. And, you know, you're one of those legends in the martial arts also. You have so many accomplishments and so many things, you know, that you've done and as a part of our book this year of Who's Who in the Martial Arts. So I'd like to go ahead and start with you and talk about, introduce yourself to everyone. And then we want to go through some of the things that you're doing, especially in the technology part, and also some of the things that you've also done in your past that's made you who you are today as a champion in the martial arts and also a life champion. So share with us a little bit about you so our audience can sort of get a feel for you.
Yeah, sure. You know, my name is Michael Dietrich. You know, if you Google me online, it comes up usually as like Master Dietrich because it's a segment that we do with ABC News. And then I was actually listening to Blogspot earlier and listening to some of your stories about how you got started, and then you were talking it over with Cynthia Rothrock. And, you know, I think you are right. It is, for a lot of us, it's the same. It's something that happened. You know, and when I was, I'm a first-generation American. I'm the first person in my family born here. I have a German dad, a Spanish mom. Shoot, there's arguing right there, right? Talk about two completely different cultures getting together. But my dad is also a war hero. He was nominated for Silver Star. He's a colonel in the U.S. Army, Special Forces, went to Vietnam, and came back during an era when people were spitting him on him from the Vietnam War, coming back and standing up for our country. And it was just a different time then that he really tried to raise me to be a child that didn't fight, turn the other cheek. And that was all good until when I was about 7 years old, my dad got a job at the Pentagon here in D.C. And we moved into a new neighborhood. And 2 days after being in a neighborhood, I walked across the street, ended up bumping into a neighborhood gang, which beat me, kicked me, had baseball bats, almost crushed my skull in, and I was hospitalized for a while, and it almost died. Now, you know, my Latin mom was very upset. You know, she was, any mom would be, but she's like, you know, my poor child, here's my firstborn child, and he's emotionally disabled now. You know, at 7 years old this happens, I wouldn't talk to anybody. I would just look at the ground, extremely shy. And then at 10 years old, I saw a Bruce Lee movie. Now, hopefully everybody out there knows about Bruce Lee. Oh, my goodness. Here's this, like, 5'6", 5'5", little Asian guy defending himself against people. And right after the Bruce Lee movie was a Jun Rhee commercial. You know, nobody bothers me, USA 1000. 2 days later, I was taking my very first class. Now, you know, I'm very lucky as I look back because my very first teacher for my first introductory lesson was about an 18-year-old Stephen Oliver. And the person who taught my second class was, I believe these are the ages. It's been a while now, right? So 16-year-old Charlie Lee was my teacher. And so after about 90 days, you know, of starting there, Jun Rhee himself had come to a testing. Now, I didn't start alone. I started with my brother. My brother was about 3 at the time. And if anybody knows the story of Richard Dietrich, he was 3 when he started. They said they only take 5-year-olds, but they'll make an exception just to see how he does. And, 90 days later, Jun Rhee sees us at a testing. We get Outstanding Student of the Month. And he says, you know, I'm moving you to my main school in Falls Church to train with the head instructors for Jun Rhee Nationwide. And at the end of the year, we started traveling around the world with Jun Rhee. Which, you know, puts me at 11 years old and Richard at 4. And Richard at 4 knew all the curriculum as a 4-year-old from white belt all the way up to second degree black belt as a 4-year-old. So in Korea, he'd have Richard walk on stage in like these diapers and then stand up and do like Beethoven's Fifth Symphony, the big famous John Chung form. And you know, here's the world we grew up in. Stephen Oliver, Charlie Lee, Jeff Smith teaching me kickboxing, Michael Coles. You know, this is a place where Rodney Batiste and some of just the legends were all made. And, you know, to me, they were just the people that were there. And then as we got more proficient, you know, we got our black belts. We had agents. We were in Us Magazine, Newsweek, Washington Post, Ripley's Believe It or Not. We're still touring around the world with Jun Rhee. Actually got a scholarship from Bruce Lee's wife, Linda Lee, to go to college. You know, with an acceptance of Princeton, that I ended up dropping out and opening up my first karate school at 18. You know, so it was a very dynamic time. You know, we had the big Karate Kung Fu Illustrated back in the day. There was the PKL. I ended up getting into the Professional Karate League Hall of Fame. And then we saw the birth of NASCA. You know, 1990, I believe, somewhere around there, between the 80s and 90s, you know, I had won the U.S. Open, Battle of Atlanta, Diamond Nationals. I still have my Diamond Nationals ring. I treasure that ring. I was on the Waco team and then toured around the world on a Pascua del Budo tour with people like Kevin Thompson, Garrett Warren, of course, my brother Richard, and a whole bunch of top martial artists from around the world. And from that also, I think at 18, I opened up a school. We had made it like one of the very first MMA studios because we had Muay Thai kickboxing in there. We had Aikido people in there. It was kind of like the Durgerberg style of just having all these martial artists under one roof and, you know, trying to fill our audience, but also, you know, pay the rent, you know, back then. But martial arts had seen like it was a real pinnacle time in the fact that, you know, Battle of Atlanta would see something like $80,000 in sponsorship money before one registration happened for the event. You know, and it was an exciting day. Karate Kid came out, Ninja Turtles. I think anybody who's a martial artist around back then knew that they were living in the top of the martial arts world. You know, fast forward to today, where we have consultants in the industry saying, hey, competition's not that great for you, for business, right? And they say, you know, just keep things in your school. And I think we've seen a decline not only in the arts a little bit, we've seen a decline in competition. And, you know, if we go back to traditional values, all the way back to the bow, why do I bow to somebody? Why is it that I bow? I bow to show respect. But is it really respect for that person, and what type of level of respect? And I had to teach a class on this the other day. When I bow to this person, it's because I need them. If I play tennis, right, and I play tennis against a wall, I can get dynamic, I can get it very good, but in order to really take my game to the next level, I need somebody to challenge me. In order to take my martial arts to another level, I have to bow, show respect, because I need this person to challenge me. Back in the day, I was fighting against Jerry Prince, Tony Young, you know, Jerry Fontanez was out on the circuit then, we're all training together and competing every weekend. And without these guys, I would never improve. And I think Tony Young was one of the first people to really explain it to me. Because Tony and Jerry Prince, you know, I was, I guess, what, my rookie year, 1988 or something. I came out, and I was doing really well. And these guys, Tony Young and Jerry Prince, would cheer for me. And I'm like, why are these guys cheering for me? I got to fight up to the Final Four and finally get to battle these guys. Why would they want me to succeed, you know? So I remember getting up to the Final Four and fighting Tony Young, and of course he obliterated me in the first round. It was just absolutely amazing how amazing of a fighter he was. But I went out to dinner with him later on, and I was like, you know, Tony, you're amazing. How do I even get these type of skills? He goes, well, let me tell you. And he says, hey, when I do this, try this or try this technique. I'm like, why would you tell me this? He goes, because we're in the martial arts. We're in the martial arts, and our goal here is to elevate each other. To take each other, to take the game, to take ourselves to the next level. So this is why we bow. To show respect, because I need this person. I want him. I want this camaraderie in order to grow and take our game to the entire next level. So if a school doesn't compete, they've lost a whole history there. They've lost a tradition, right? So now with the WFM, you know, I'm in charge of this world organization. I have a partner in Ireland and one in Dubai, and we brought on every single style around the planet, from Muay Thai kickboxing to grappling and ground fighting. Past weekend, we had an event in Ireland with the ABO, Adaptive Boxing Organization, where we held events for people with special needs so that they could get out and prove their proving ground, that they still have what it took to challenge themselves to the next level. That same weekend, we had an event in Egypt going on for Muay Thai. So, you know, there's a lot of things going on, and the main thing bringing it all together is the unity of martial artists around the world trying to bring our arts into the 21st century, bringing back some of the history that got lost in some of the commercialism, and finding the fine tune of commercialism. Because people still need to have their schools open. They have to make a profit. They have to feed their families, right? But at the same time, they still need to keep our martial arts faith alive. And that's the big hopes of the WFM. That's what we're doing. We've partnered up with several companies to bring on technology. Some of the technology is so outstanding that besides registering an athlete, it tracks them, it keeps track of their ratings, it takes them to an entirely different level. And as we track these ratings, we can see how many views people are getting for an event, how many events throughout the year. So when we approach a company like Pepsi or Coca-Cola, we can say, hey, guys, we got you 1 billion views. And most of those views came from this one fighter or came from this school. So we've actually started pairing up and defining ways that we send sponsorship money to some of the school owners. We send sponsorship money to some of the competitors. You know, we even try to bring sponsors in for a lot of the tournaments. So in all this, in order for all this to happen, it comes down to the technology tracking the views. You know, and I'll explain some of the real basics of the things that we've done recently. Is from the registration software, not only does it track the competitor, but it tracks the ratings of that event. And it can track the ratings worldwide. From there, we've also brought in electronic gear. So now as a software, not only can give you the bracketing, you can have a tablet at each ring, and it does a bracketing for you. You can have somebody enter it right there. The ratings go up online. If you take it to the next level, there's electronic gear. You only need one referee per ring. Well, typically, we have 3 to 5. How many more rings can I run with less people if I'm using the electronic gear? Right? Because what happens is there's sensors in the foot, the hand, the headgear. It can be set for 2 points, 1 point, whatever you want it to be. But as soon as they kick, it knows if it hit a legal target area and automatically scores a point on the screen. Now, it does change the game a little bit, and we have added it to not only sparring but to things like Gladiator, like Platted Weapons. We brought in gaming divisions so that students who are not ready to compete, okay, they might be a little scared, can come in and do some of the gaming divisions to build up the courage and still get a medal and feel involved so it becomes an entire family. You know, so here's some of the technology we're bringing with the gear, the bracketing. I guess I should tell you about this other one, too. We have an app where a person, a spectator, can download. They can videotape the ring. The app overlays the score coming off the computer from that ring because of the electronic gear, and it superimposes it on that person's camera. And they click a button, and imagine this, right? You have a tournament coming up. And imagine that tournament has that electronic ring, and the person says, oh, my gosh, I'm here watching my kid. You got to see this. They click it, and they just shared your event around the world. They shared it with all their relatives. So there's your event with their child sparring in it, doing their competition with their scores live on that screen. How many views did that one division in your event get that day? At what point with those number of views can we bring in more sponsors? So, you know, so for what we're doing, you know, and Jesse, I'm so happy I met you. You're a great man with great integrity, and we have a common faith in the martial arts. And with that common faith, it looks like we're working very hard together to be able to bring our competitors back and show them, hey, pay it forward, pass down our faith, bring it out to everybody because it is life-changing. Don't get so commercialized that you don't even compete because you're losing the whole history, right? And as people who are groundbreaking make changes, let's honor them. Who's Who is incredible. It's by far the dynamic that needs to be had. You know, we need to be able to say, hey, here are our legends. Here are our legends, and here's the changes they made. Stand on the shoulders of these legends. As we educate you, we teach you, we show you. Stand on their shoulders and bring it to a whole nother level. So I am very happy that we're working together to do this because, you know, we're really only as good as the legacy we leave behind. What do we leave behind in the hearts of the world we live in? So, you know, I really do thank you for the opportunity to work together, and I really do look forward to bringing AMAA and the WFM all working together so I can bring people around the world to be who's who in the martial arts.
Well, Michael, we sure do. Thank you. I mean, you, like I said, you've done so much. You can hear it in your voice, the confidence, the achievement. And this is what the martial arts is really about, is about being able to grow yourself. And everybody has a story. And I know that Grandmaster Pennington has actually joined our line because we really want to talk about, you know, we're talking about the legacy that we have, and this is where our kids and new black belts, they don't really know about this. And we have, you know, the legends of the martial arts that's really, you know, pioneered everything that we know. Grandmaster Pennington, are you on?
I'm online, yes, sir.
Hey, sir. Hey, welcome to our call. We have Master Michael Dietrich's on our call with us today. And, you know, this is really a super honor to have both of you gentlemen on the call. Michael's given us a lot of really up-to-date information about where we are, the things that we want to do in preserving the martial arts. You know, karate is going to be coming up, you know, as an interview sports in 2020, and we've been waiting years for to see this happen. You know, we still have the spark and that interest of martial arts from the competitive aspect. And, sir, I know you've done so many great things, and I'd like to take a moment, if you would, is to introduce yourself. A lot of our listeners may or may not have heard of you. So if you would, just do a brief introductory of yourself, and then, like I said, we're going to take and, you know, get some knowledge from you. You're the mentor tonight, and share some wisdom with us. So let's talk a little bit about you. You know, where are you living now? I know you've been all over the country doing a lot of different things. So if you would, share a little bit of that with us, please.
Sure. I live in Oregon, a small town called Talent, in the southern part of the state. I have four children growing up here and four grandkids growing up here. I have a dojo in a town called Ashland. I have a dojo in a town called Central Point, another dojo in Phoenix, another dojo in Eagle Point, another dojo in Medford in the southern Oregon area. I'm a president of the American Karate Academy's National Association. We've been together about 14 karate schools nationwide for the past 35 years, and we have schools in North Carolina, South Carolina, Tennessee, Virginia, and Maryland, California, Washington State, and Oregon. And I've personally been doing martial arts since 1964. I was in the top 10 fighters in America and in the world for 4 to 5 years. I fought in many countries, produced champion fighters, produced shows, held the first light heavyweight championship full contact karate match at the Park Center in Charlotte, North Carolina, right where y'all are from. I've been in martial arts most of my life since I was 12 years old. And I've watched the industry and the grow. I've watched individuals within the industry grow. There's some very famous people that I was able to work with over the years. In the beginning, there was no famous peoples at all. We were all just a bunch of young guys training in Southern California with Chuck Norris and Bruce Lee and Mike Stone and Ed Parker and many others. That's enough about me.
Well, you know, that's totally phenomenal, and that's what we do. We look at the outcome of a lifetime of martial arts, and that's totally amazing. You know, because what you've done, you have created a legacy through the schools that you've developed and the martial artists that you've developed. I know a friend of mine, Dan McCall, is one of your students, and we've been knowing each other for a billion years, and phenomenal person. And, you know, so you've done so much for the martial arts. You made so many firsts. And that's really what the Who's Who is about, is to be able to share your story, to be able to share Michael's story, to be able to let the world know and tell that story now. Because it's very difficult for someone to make changes for us to teach our kids about the martial arts.
Yeah, not to interrupt you, Jesse, but it's kind of interesting because, see, we don't have any police in our industry. We don't have people out there that can stop somebody from opening a school that's not qualified, or we don't have an association security company that works to prevent some areas of our country to have bad martial arts. So the ones that have been steady over the years, the ones that have the aesthetic qualities and the right attributes that karate can give to an individual, especially to children, are sometimes neglected because there's some bad guys out there that, in the industry. So what I have to say is pretty important, because I know when I started my schools in the East, they were mostly fighting schools, mostly schools to produce athletes. But as I grew in the martial art, I began to look at the aesthetic qualities and the benefits for children, both in a different light. I began to look at it like, hey, there's some self-esteem going on here. Hey, there's some self-discipline going on there. Well, I think the confidence is getting really strong in that one young man. And so I developed my programs in my schools to carry the qualities of what true martial artists really are there for. Not so much for the sport. The sport is a big part of it, of course. But the endurance, the qualities, the attributes that a good martial arts dojo gives to the community and to its cities, counties, and states is that everlasting quality of love and respect and a job well done, completion. In our dojos, you have to work 4, 5, 6 years to make your black belt. In some commercial schools that don't have proper guidance, you can buy them for a silver dollar. But in a quality karate dojo, in a quality karate school, in a dojang that has a good overseership, students can really learn and get so much benefit from them. I got so involved with that aspect of it that I began working with Alzheimer's and kids with learning disabilities and learning disorders. I even went so far into that for a few years there that I had a very wealthy man who had a son that had some real, real problems. He hired me full time, and I taught the boy from 8 o'clock in the morning until 7 o'clock at night, 5 days a week for 2 years. And I did that because my wife went along with it. My others, the black belts that were under me took care of my schools. And I did that, and that was the most rewarding and the hardest thing I ever did in my life. And that's when I truly believed that I was put on this planet to teach karate and to help kids get through some sorts of problems, both emotional and spiritual. So for that, I'm thankful. And for your organization, I'm thankful. Because you're putting that energy out there to the communities in our cities, counties, and states. And I want to thank you for that, Mr. Bowen.
Well, thank you, sir. You know, if we went back, you know, when I started this project, it was really about last year when we wrote the book, it was about finding those masters and grandmasters, and we selected 75 masters and grandmasters. This year is really about their story. You know, last year was about all the trophies they won and all those things. But this year is about the story you just shared. It's about the experience of your experience, because I believe if we share experiences with our students, they will understand that when it seems as if you are failing, or when something bad happens, I know Michael just shared a few minutes ago his encounter, you know, gets to the new neighborhood, gets jumped and beat up, but look where he is now. I know my situation was the same thing. I was, you know, my mom programmed me the very first day I went to school, and I loved my mom dearly. She said, "Buddy, don't you be out fighting." She forgot to tell the other kids that. So every time I would get an encounter, my mom's image would pop up. And, you know, it was like one of the movies that I saw, that every time I get ready to throw a punch, my mom would be there. But from that, no one in my hometown would believe I'm a martial artist. But I discovered something in the martial arts, and there was an image that I had the very first day I went to a martial arts school. I went there to learn how to fight. I'd never seen a martial arts magazine before. I went in a grocery store, and there was a martial arts magazine, and Chuck Norris had his foot in a chair, and a little old lady was him in his heavyweight uniform with this huge trophy on his knee. I knew at that moment I wanted to be a karate champion, and I think that's what we're talking about, is that first image that you see, and that's what we really want Who's Who to be about, is that when you open up the book and you begin to read You know, because if I tell you about all the trophies I've won and you're brand new to the martial arts, that's not going to mean a lot to you, because you're going to probably feel as though I could do that, but you would never be able to do it. But if I tell you my story, how I got started, and I tell you that I was, you know, back in our day, it wasn't called bullying. It was called being a coward if you didn't fight, or if you backed down, or if you ran away, and that was sort of like a really embarrassing thing. So what influenced you to get started in the martial arts?
Well, you know, after the Second World War, a lot of people – I'm on a radio thing, Joey, so – yeah, thanks, sir. I'm at my dojo now, as a matter of fact. But so I was five of us in the family at the time. My dad had died in the military. My mom was working at the fish cannery in San Pedro, California. And so we were mostly boys, four of us, and we went to the Y after school. And they had a boxing program, they had a swimming program, they had a karate program. So I took all the programs, and I got good at boxing, and I got good at karate, and I got good at swimming. And from that experience, it was Shotokan, of course, from that experience, it grew and stayed with me most of the days of my young manhood through school. And once I married and had my own family, I stayed with the arts and trained under Master Robert Trias, Tom Kreitz from the USKA back in the 60s. And that grew into something stronger. I began to really be good at martial art. I was feared as a fighter and called the rebel, the lion, the guy who never gives up, the man who can clean your clock. I was pretty much renowned as a great, strong fighter. And that stuck with me. I traded the teaching from Mr. Parker and then on to Mr. Mike Stone and Chris Oakey with the Chuck Norris organization. We all used to work out at different dojos in Southern California, and I just stayed with the martial arts. I love the energy. I love the sporting aspect of it, and the spiritual and the aesthetic qualities of martial art came to me as I studied the martial art as an athlete. I would go travel from California to Colorado to fight in a tournament and pay my way there and pay an entry fee, and there was no money. So you paid your own way then, and we did that for years and years and years and years. And then the magazine started to take notice of some of us, and we got some notoriety and got some perks back for that. But basically, karate has saved my life and the life of hundreds and hundreds and thousands of people in this country, and I believe it because I see it every day in my dojo.
Well, that's why I started to ask you what have you learned? What do you feel is the biggest thing you've learned from the martial arts? And you just said it right there, and I think that's very critical that there's a lesson, you know, from that. Now I think that one of the big lessons is that as our kids are growing and as we're developing, we're sharing that lesson. Number one, never give up. You know, the spirit of the lion, the attitude, yes, I can. That's, you know, my kids, they get on the mat. You know, they start clapping when they rail on the mat. Yes, I can. Yes, I can, because we want them to learn you can do anything. And if you can get out and now learn how to punch, learn how to block, learn how to kick, and be able to expose that. And I know that we still have Michael back on the line with us, too. Hey, Michael, are you with us?
I'm here, yeah.
Oh, great, great. You know, yes, you know, so we have, and both of you guys, you know, on our call tonight is a great experience, you know, for us, a lot of information to be shared. And, again, I'm looking forward to, you know, meeting with you guys. And, again, I'm always like a kid in the candy store when – someone is sharing information, I'm always listening to what they have to say. I'm always listening to how they say it, because this is what really helps me to grow. And I'm asked all the time, you know, okay, you got 40, 45 years in the martial arts. You're still learning. Yes, I'm still learning. Every day I'm still learning. Wouldn't you gentlemen agree that, you know, as masters and grandmasters, you know, this is really, I'm discovering, what I'm discovering at this age of martial arts study It's the understanding. It's the greater level of understanding. How do you guys feel about that?
Oh, my gosh. You know, just hearing Master Pennington's story, you know, it's a whole different era. You know, it was before my era, you know. And just hearing these stories go, man, there was so much amazing things. But it's so interesting how throughout all the different eras we have something still in common, you know, and our aspirations to be a positive influence and create change in the world. You know, and as we learn better ways, and, you know, I do agree that we're at an age, too, where we realize we're not 20-year-olds. I think at 20-year-olds, we were like, yeah, I need to have a championship school. We know it all, right? And now it's like, wow, there's so much more to learn, and there's so much more left to do. And I'm glad in that unity that we can get together with that like-mindedness to try and find the solutions for some of the future generations and future teachings and things of that nature. And being able to have a communication device like this where it brings all these different generations together will really, really help us move forward.
Yeah, you know, the thing that really makes me feel so positive about our art is that it's the truth, and the truth never changes. So in that truth, in getting and living that truth, we go up, we go down, we get thrown down, we get picked up, we have a problem in this, we have a problem in that, there's a family quarrel here, there's something going on there, there's a financial thing going on here, oh, well, that's a big problem, there's something going on there. But in the end, martial arts has saved situations. It's saved groups. It's saved associations. It's saved a lot. Not that a lot of bad hasn't been done, because there's a lot of organizations out there that are in the trash can over the past 50 years, as far as I'm concerned. But there's a lot out there that's so beautiful. And with the future in mind, we want to give that positive. So out of all bad, sometimes a lot of good comes, too. So I'm a true supporter of Who's Who. I'm a true supporter of Mr. Bowen. I'm a true supporter of those people I've talked to, Mr. Smith, Mr. Corley. I've known them gentlemen forever. I wrote a check to Jeff Smith one time for $10,000. He got in the ring and fought a beautiful man named Keith Effick for 11 rounds, the first fight ever, the first one ever. Mr. Corley and I did battle. We had the longest match of any sport karate match. It was 19 minutes long with no points being scored. So I have quite a history with that group of people. McDonald's in North Carolina, Aaron Banks in New York. It's unbelievable, the lives. And you know, I've lost a lot of friends in the past probably 5-6 years. It's unbelievable. All of us older fellas are starting to get plucked off the tree and pushing up daisies. But, you know, every one of the ones that I've lost in the past 5 years, I can look back and say they did a great job for their country. They did a great job for their art. And y'all are doing the same thing right now. Mr. Bowen, you're doing the same thing with what you're putting off there. And I appreciate it. And if there's anything else I can do to help you get that done and let people understand that we have to come together as a unified force to get through the next up to 2020 so we can get this to the public, let our schools grow, let our energies level off so that we can share with each other. That's what I want to do.
Well, you know, it's been so amazing and it's been so grateful. I know that, you know, as you said before, with Grandmaster Smith and Grandmaster Corley, these guys are truly cut from a totally different mold in that, and I'm very grateful for them for the support that they've actually given and the friendship. And, you know, it's so amazing. And through that, we're actually having this conversation, and, you know, Michael, we've actually been pulled together. But this is the thing about martial artists working together. Because if we work as a unit towards a common cause, and the common cause here, and, you know, sir, as you were saying a few moments ago, a lot of our martial artists are leaving us. And when they're gone, where's the marker? And this is what we want our desires for Who's Who in the Martial Arts publication to be, is a history book, a marker. You know, my teacher, Grandmaster Jan Wellendorf, and his partner, Dale Brooks, they wrote Who's Who in American karate in the early 80s, and like I said, it just became a dream that this is something that's needed now, can be done a lot easier, and we have access to be able to do it, and we have the resources to be able to do it, and that's the reason for launching this project, so that we can reach out, and I mean, everyone that I've talked to, Michael J. White, John Chung, Linda Denley, that list goes on and on of people at that particular, at all different levels over the past, 40 decades or, four decades have actually, come together, and they're excited and they're willing, and there's just so much gratitude that's been shown towards me for starting this. But again, I think that Grandmaster Smith, Jeff Smith, Grandmaster Joe Corley, and also, I don't want to leave out, Michael, Master Michael Dietrichs, because, number one, he's jumped in here over the past couple of weeks. I sure wish I had him in my corner when I first started this. We would have been a whole lot smoother, a whole lot better, but we are where we are. We're very grateful. And, gentlemen, I really want to thank you for being on our call tonight, and I'm hoping that anyone that actually can, that hears this call, listens to it, that you will also sense and feel, the pride of being a martial artist, and look and find and discover ways you can continue to grow, develop yourself. That's another area we'll talk about at a different time, is about the martial artists of today and their personal development skills, because we're in a different generation, and the learning curve and the learning is totally different than the ways that we used to learn. I mean, our students are totally different, so we have to continually upgrade who we are, continually educate ourselves, continually be in the learning process, and not go flat. And this is what sparks the growth in your school, growth in the martial arts.
That is so true. That is so true.
It's masters.
Yeah, the learning process is a curve that never stops with me. I'll be going to Cambodia in February, and I'll be teaching in some orphanages over there.
Wow.
So I understand that that if you don't have something new, you haven't got nothing. You got to come new. You got to get up with what's happening. That's why the communication systems and the technology that we have is that the other fellow when I first came on the program was talking about. We can't push those aside. For tradition, we can't push those aside because we don't think it's right. We have to embrace them. So embracing the newness and the change and the direction of educating ourselves as mentors and as teachers is more important than the individual. And that's something that, I've had to learn that. I've had to struggle with that for many years. But I found the answer. Be who you are. Help each other. Tell the truth. Ask for what you want. Keep your commitment, and you're good to go.
I agree with that, sir. Hey, Michael, any last words
sent
you?
I sent you a friend request, sir, so we can on Facebook, so we can kind of stay in contact, and in any way we can help each other. It seems like there's a great deal for me to learn from some of the things that you've accomplished, and just maybe we'll do some teamwork to try and bring it to the 21st century and keep all this history alive. So please,
just
reach back out to me.
You can engage me, and I'll embrace it.
I got it. I did it. Friend request.
Awesome, man. Thank you very
much.
Well,
guys,
for inviting
I really
me.
Do thank you for being on our show. Everyone, don't forget, come to Charlotte, North Carolina, and this is going to be September the 17th, and it's going to actually be the 16th. We're going to be kicking off with the AMAA Business Summit. We have Grandmaster Jeff Smith, Grandmaster Dennis Brown, Grandmaster Cynthia Rothrock. We have...
I got a story about Dennis Brown.
You sure it's okay to share?
Yeah.
Okay, let's have it. You'll love it. I'll make sure he gets
right,
a copy of the show.
Yeah, I had a karate studio in Maryland, and I had a fellow by the name of Willie Lin that came from Taiwan. And he needed a sponsor to stay in the United States, but he was really a great kung fu stylist. So I brought him to the United States, and I paid him to teach in my schools. And He earned enough money to open his own school on Georgia Avenue in Washington, D.C., and the first guy he taught that came in the dojo was Dennis Brown.
Wow. Wow.
So without me, Dennis Brown wouldn't be in karate.
Oh, wow.
That's a great
wow.
story. Ask Dennis. He knows. Yeah.
Well, that's
Dennis
great
Brown's
because
he's my man.
Yeah, he's going to be at the event, and we're really excited about that because we're really supporting, you know,
good.
The Capital Classic. And again, that on Friday evening, we're going to have our AMAA VIP reception, and that's going to be hosted by Grandmaster Jeff Smith and Grandmaster Joe Corley. Then Saturday, we kick off the tournament, and the book signing will be going on Friday and on Saturday, so all of our inclusions will be there signing books. Again, Linda Denley, John Chung. So that list of truly this is a Legends event. And then after the tournament, then the tournament's going to be great. Someone said, you're going old school because we're doing six-foot trophies. We got cash prize for the grand champion in the divisions. On Saturday evening, we honor our past and deceased martial artists. Because that's important. We have to, for those great martial artists that have gone on, and with the who's who, we want to make sure that they're not forgotten. And I know that many other publications are doing things, but we want to honor them in the book. Then we're going to be honoring, you know, the legends, the for a lifetime achievement, you know, the legacies. So there's just so much that's going to be happening. Then we're going to wrap it up, and Cynthia Rothrock is going to be doing a seminar, and all of our competitors that compete can go and train at her seminar totally free. You know, and Michael, his team has developed an amazing T-shirt, an amazing registration system to help the flow of the event, and we're truly looking for next year's event, especially, you know,
awesome.
Being able to work with
awesome.
Michael and his team.
Well,
guys,
really
I'm going to call
that.
It an evening,
yes,
and
sir.
I just want to thank you guys.
All right, man. I'm going to sign off, you guys.
All right. Have a great night. Thank you for sharing our faith all together, guys.
Oh, you're
all
very
right.
welcome. And you guys have a pleasant day. We got fires out here in Oregon. So I'm going to build a fire under my dojo right now and get back to my class.
Okay. Yes, sir.
All right. For, again,
for
thank
class.
You.
All right. All right.
Okay.
Blessings.
Bye-bye.
Everyone, this is Grandmaster Jesse Bowen saying having a wonderful, wonderful day or wonderful evening. And remember, as martial artists, we are very special and we are very unique. You know, think about the Clark Kent and Superman. And everyone, there's a black belt in everyone. It's just needed for someone to help you to develop. And in our today's time, having that strength, having that courage to go and do things that maybe you don't have the confidence right now to do. But remember, your weakness can become your strength. God bless you. If you need more information about the American Martial Arts Alliance or the Who's Who, you can just give me a call. My telephone number is area code 919-489-6100. Or you can actually email me, and you can email me at the address is info@the-AMAA.com. Have a blessed evening.